Your Bibles, you can go to Philippians chapter 4. You know, in speaking on what I mentioned during the offering, in His will, that's where the peace is. Amen. I'm tormented in my mind, get in His will. Yeah. I'm tormented in my emotions, get in His will. Yeah. I'm tormented in my finances, get in His will. I'm tormented in thoughts and anxieties and fears, get in His will. In His will. See, the problem is, God says, go here. People go here. And then they say, well, I'm just going to do my thing. And God will swoop in and help me. And He says, no. I'm helping you back here in the plan that I have for you. So I encourage you, people, do it God's way. Amen? And a little 5-minute prayer before bed is not going to give you God's way. He said, diligently seek me, ask me, seek after me, inquire of me. Amen? I'll tell you, before a big decision and life-changing decisions, you ought to be on your face, praying in the Spirit, seeking God, and not moving until you know for sure. Amen. Glory to God. With money, with every single thing. Amen. So, praise God. That needed to be said. Hallelujah. And then whatever He says, just do it. I'm an advocate of just do what God said to do. Father, we love You this morning. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your mercy. We know You're not leading by pressure. You're not leading by fear. You're not leading by money. You're not leading by weather. You're not leading by geography. You're leading by the Spirit of God. So, Father, help us this morning to get all that You want for us. Father, we're not here to necessarily just say we had a good service. We're here to have a God service. That means we want what You want, Father. We want to say and do what You want said and done. Father, we don't want our ways and what we think is best. We want Your way, because Your way is best. And so, Father, help us. Speak through me that my words will not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. And Father, we'll give You the praise and glory. As hearts are spoken to this morning, it's because of You, not because of me. We give You praise, we give You honor, we give You glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. I want to teach you a principle in the Word of God. How many know there's different principles in the Bible? Faith is a principle. Your words will work is a principle, right? Speak to the mountain, that's a principle. Having faith in all things, you know, the promises of God come to your life because of faith is a principle. Walking in love and having your faith work, that's a principle. Amen? Following the Spirit of God is a principle. So I want to teach you a principle from God's Word that will be a great blessing to you. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It was a few years back, it was when we had a Chevy Trailblazer, and I took it. It was one morning, I had an appointment in the afternoon, and you know, one thing you need to know about me is I used to be obsessed with hunting, to the point where it got in the way of money things and got in the way of God, and God really had to speak to me and rearrange some things and priorities in my life, and I'm thankful, and now it's crazy. I hunt the least I've ever hunted, and I killed bigger deer and see bigger deer than I've ever seen and killed before. It's amazing how that worked. I was chasing after it and chasing after it and chasing after it. Well, the Bible does say the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow. I don't know why we're on this today, but again, you do it God's way, you'll get the blessing and there'll be no sorrow. You can do things your way, but there will be sorrow attached to it if it's not Him. Amen. You step out from underneath His covering and the devil's got access to you. So that's why we want it His way. Amen. But back when I was in my obsessed years and just kind of doing things my own way, I had a meeting one day, and I had just taken my cousin bear hunting in Pennsylvania, and we had an awesome time. I just ran her ragged running on that mountain back and forth, because what was happening is the roadway goes through the middle of the national forest, and so the road is really not a road to a bear. It's just the ground kind of changes, he crosses it, because it's not like there's a ton of traffic on it, so... we were out there running around, you know, looking for bear, and we came across a track, some fresh snow in the early morning, and we literally chased that thing all day long, and you know, they were just getting, we'd get close and they'd go off, but what we found is like 3 or 4 times, they walked right in front of my vehicle. I'd chase them across the road, they'd go walking in front of my vehicle, so I'd go to the other side of the road, chase them back, they'd go back. I said, man, so I knew there were bear in the area, and so I wanted to go back there, and I was by myself, and I had an important meeting that day. I can't remember when it was or what it was, but I shouldn't have been hunting. The weather was terrible. It was like we were in the middle of a winter storm warning, and it was on this back road where they hardly plowed, but my obsession with hunting took over, And I went anyways, and I got out and was hunting and pushed it to the very last minute, ran back to the vehicle to get in. But where I had parked, I had pulled off too far, and I had gotten stuck. And I'm stressing out because I got to be somewhere, and it's an important meeting. And I'm mad at myself. Why'd you do this? Why'd you do this? Why? I'm sitting here stepping on it, and the wheels are spinning. I'm not going anywhere, and time's ticking. And then I had a revelation. Are you ready for the revelation I had? I had four-wheel drive. And so I kicked that vehicle into four-wheel drive and put on the gas, and out of the ditch we went, and or myself, I went and got to the meeting in time, and it all worked out. Amen? And one time I was telling that story, and I was over in the, some of you probably were in that service, I was over in the old sanctuary, and I was preaching on Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, and it came up out of my spirit, 4:4. 4:4. And the Spirit of God said to me that praise is like four-wheel drive. Now, if He says something to you, the way you judge it to whether or not it's you having too much pizza, you being kind of squirrely in your brain, or whether it was really God is, there'll always be Scripture to back it up. Well, and He said this to me, praise is like four-wheel drive. Four-wheel drive, now see, I used to hunt with a vehicle that was just a white Ford Taurus, a nice car, but it couldn't take me places that a four-wheel drive could take me, and it couldn't get me out of places that a four-wheel drive could get me out of. And so the Lord said that praise is like four-wheel drive. It will get you into places that you otherwise can't get into, and it'll get you out of places that you otherwise couldn't get out of. I said, and I always say, you know, I don't maybe say it out loud, but I think it, or I will say it out loud, or just come up on my heart, and I'll say, I need Scripture for this. And of course, that night I was preaching, He told me I had just preached on praise, and so I had the Scripture on it. So I want to show you today the principle of praise, or the blessing of praise in your life, and what the Bible says about when people praise, and the principle in the Word of what it actually can do to you, because there's a supernatural component. See, two-wheel drive is good, but four-wheel drive is a little bit extra to help you, right? To get you through some things, to get you out of some things that maybe a regular two-wheel drive can't get you into or out of. You know, I'm able to park a lot closer now than I was before with my Ford Taurus. Now I can just go driving them through creeks and over fields and to Granny's house we go. I mean, it's great. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I want to show you the principle of praise this morning to make sure that we are incorporating it in our lives. And I'm not just talking about when we sing songs. I'm talking about it being a part of your life like breathing is. You know, I found this when it comes to, you know, I think about Abby, you know. I'm just so fond of that little girl. I just, you know, oh, Abby. I just love her, you know, and all the time I see her, I come down from my office, I'll pick her up, kiss her, and give her a hug. You know, I don't think about that stuff. I don't think about, I love you so much, Abby. It's just so natural and comes out of me. That's the way it should be with God. The way we talk with Him, the way we fellowship with Him. And at first, you know, with our natural beings and our bodies and our minds and maybe even our personalities, it takes work to get into that. But there is a threshold that you'll cross where praising and praying and communicating with your Father becomes like breathing. Where that's just what you do, right? I always liken it to the time I took my cousin, same cousin, turkey hunting, and we'd been hunting all day. And the revelation came to me, and the Bible says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. God's with you all day long. But yeah, how many times do we go a whole day and maybe never even speak to Him? Or we go hours at a time, chunks of hours, where we never even acknowledge His presence. And I thought, you know, my cousin's been right by my side. We were out there for 6-7 hours. I said, how weird would it be to never say a word to each other? How weird would it be to not communicate and to talk to one another? But that's what people do with God. We got to become aware of His presence. Amen? We got to become aware of Him there, and then it becomes natural. But the principle I want to show you is yes, we could preach on praise, and we should probably preach on praise in the aspect of it, of He's worthy of it. And as His children, we should shower Him with that. And it makes Him feel good. He likes to hear it. And it's a right thing. And we should, without even thinking about getting anything in return. But I have it on my heart today to teach you the principle of praise, of the blessing that being a praiser will bring to you. Amen? Go with me to Psalms 22 and verse 3. If you don't have your Bibles, you can look up on the screen. Psalms 22 and verse 3. I use the King James because I've found there's a lot of different translations and paraphrases, but a lot of different translations and paraphrases, they take liberties with the original Greek and Hebrew. And so the King James can be a little bit wordy at times with the these and thous, but I've found that it's the most accurate, and talking with other pastors, the most accurate rendering of the Scriptures. Now, that's not the only Bible that I use. I use the Message, I use the New Living, I'll use the NIV, I'll use the New King James, I'll use the Amplified to help me, because sometimes it gets so wordy, it's like, what in the world are they saying? Speak English to me. And so I'll read these things, it helps me. But a lot of times you'll see that they'll take liberties and absolutely change what the Hebrew and the Greek, because the translator or the paraphraser, when they try to paraphrase it from the original Hebrew Greek, their doctrine's messed up. They haven't been taught, and it trips up their mind, and so they don't put it the way the Scriptures said to put it. Doesn't make the King James infallible. That's why we use a bunch of different things, but that's why I use the King James, if anybody's wondering. But in Psalms 22 and verse 3, look at what it says here. But you are holy, talking about God, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. One translation says, inhabits the praises of your people. Well, Israel was his people. Well, here's a principle that you need to know. Inhabitus means to dwell or to stay. The Bible tells us that when people praise, God sets up shop there. He dwells where people praise. Or you could say it this way, if you're a numberer in your notes, praise is a vehicle that carries the manifested presence of God to your situation. Now let me say that again. Because he said, I dwell where my people praise. So praise, number one, is a vehicle that carries the manifested presence of God to your situation. So think about it this way. If God says, if I say to you, I'm coming over to your house. Well, when I come over to your house, I bring my personality. I bring any skills that I might have. If you all of a sudden have a ball glove and a ball bat and a baseball there, and you say, let's play catch, Pastor Mike, all of a sudden I didn't leave that ability at my house. Where I go, I bring what I have with me. Where God goes, he brings what he has with him. That's why we want God to manifest or show up in our situations, because what is he? He's power. He's might. He's prosperity. He's victory. He's joy. He's peace. He's all these things that we need. And he said, I will inhabit, or I will dwell where my praises are, or where people praise me. So where he is, now get this now, where he is. Yeah. Amen? Wherever he is, who he is there. That's so good. Amen? So we want him in our situations. But again, don't take my word for it. We have this verse here that shows us that he dwells where people praise. But go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 13. Something about praise that has God show up on the scene and bring with him what he is. Praise God. 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 13. Remember, praise is a vehicle that carries the manifested presence of God in your situation. God is everywhere. But his manifested presence is not everywhere. Would you all agree with me that God is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals? Yes. Exodus 22 tells us that. He declares, I am the Lord that heals you. Well, do we know by the word and by, Bible interpretation and doctrine, is God everywhere at all times? He is. Yeah, that's not a trick question. So would you say this? Is God in the hospital room of the person that's bound to that hospital bed? Amen. Is God there? He is. Is he a healer? Amen. He is. Why is that person still in bed? Because he's there, but his manifested presence is not there. He's there, but somebody has to tap into Him to get His presence to manifest. What do I always say? The oil and the gas are always under the ground. But until somebody taps into them, they don't receive the benefits of it, even though it's there. There's great benefits in the oil and gas that's under the ground, but someone's got to tap into it. It's the same with God. He's everywhere, but His manifested presence in the natural is not everywhere. Brother Hagin said this. He said, there's enough power from God to raise up every sick person out of every sick bed. But just like if we turn the lights off in here, the electricity doesn't get turned off. There's still electricity running through the outlets and running through things and the switches and stuff, however it works, and the wires. But until somebody flips the switch, praise is a switch flipper. Amen? Praise is a switch flipper. But again, don't take my word for it. What does the Bible say? Well, 2 Chronicles chapter 5 says this. It came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound, to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. So what are they doing? They're worshiping. Right? It says, and when they lifted their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Philippians 4-wheel drive. 4x4. It says, and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. So what are they doing as a group? Lord, You're good. They're playing. Their heart's out. Father, You're good and Your mercy endures forever. Well, we said that praise is a vehicle that carries the manifested presence of God to your situation. Let's see if it happened. So when they praised, now remember, this did not happen before they praised. They praised, and what did it do? What is praise? Praise is a switch flipper. Right? Well, you can walk in this room and you don't enjoy the benefits of light until you flip the switch. Amen. So they praised it. Says, and it goes on saying, His mercy endures forever. Now look what it says. For that then, not before then, the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, verse 14, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory, that's what we want, His glory. The glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Now, did God just decide to do it, or did something pick Him up and bring Him on the scene? Praise, I don't even know if this is going to sound right, but this just came in my head. Praise is like God's Uber driver. You praise, it picks Him up and it takes you where you need to go. Praise brought Him or His presence on the scene, and it was tangible in the natural, so much so that they couldn't even stand in the glory. They talk about the Azusa Street Revival in the early 1900s. I encourage you to go back and study and read on that. And that's the revivals we're looking for. Miracle signs and wonders, you know. But multiple eyewitness accounts and from people that had parents and grandparents there, they said that the glory was so thick in the meeting room that the children would play hide-and-go-seek in it. The glory manifested. Well, here it was so thick, they couldn't even stand up. See, people say, oh, those people that fall and lay under the presence, there are times when the natural cannot stand under the spiritual. Or I should say it this way, the natural can't stand under the supernatural. There's been times I've been knocked off my feet and glued to the floor where it took everything I had to try to get up. Well, the Bible says it was so thick here, the ministers couldn't even stand up. It's like they're here, it's like, oh, it's so thick. I mean, they just can't do it. That's God's presence, praise God. But what brought it there? Praise did. Not before they praised, praise did. There's a principle in the Word about praise. So number one, it's a vehicle that carries the manifested presence of God in your situation. Number two, it will get you into things. It'll get you into things. Praise God. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? Go to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1. Now, we know Joshua was the man that came after Moses, and God anointed, said, okay, Moses is gone. The wandering is over. Now go in and possess the land. They should have had the land 40 years earlier, but what kept them out? Doubt and unbelief. See, your mouth, ladies and gentlemen, is either a source of death for you or life for you. What was the only reason they were kept out of the promised land? Because they grumbled and they moaned and they groaned and complained. Yet Joshua and Caleb, the only difference with them was, is what? They said, we can do it. We can do it. We're able. Death and life. In the power of the tongue. Amen. What are you laying forth in your life? Oh, it's always so hard. Oh, I'm never going to do this. Life is hard and I just always feel this way. You're just laying out tracks of death. How about say, things are about to get better for me. Things are about to change. 2018 is going to be the best year of my life. I'm going to hear from heaven. I'm going to walk in the plan of God. My money's going to get better. My body's going to get better. My mind's going to get better. My family's going to get better. My kids are going to get better. What's that called? Laying tracks of life. Death and life are not in the power of what God wants to do. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are not in the power of just whichever way the world happens. No, no. You create death and life. Your mouth is like the rudder. Your mouth is like the bit in the horse's mouth. The bit tells the horse where it's going to go. The rudder tells the ship where it's going to go. Your mouth tells your life where you're going to go. By your words, Matthew 12 verse 37 says, you are justified. And by your words are you condemned. And God said to them in Numbers chapter 14, He said, as you have spoken in my ears, I have heard the grumbling. I have heard the groaning. You said you can't do it. As you spoke it in my ears, so be it. You ain't going to do it. 40 years you're going to wander and you won't see it. Except for my servant Caleb and my servant Joshua. So now it's time. 40 years is over. Moses is gone. He says, Joshua, you're the man. Go in there and take it. Take what is yours. But here's the thing. The walls were still there. The people still dwelled in the land. There were still cities and fortresses and armies. They still had to possess it. Amen. Amen. Chapter 6 of verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And you shall compass the city. All you men of war, and go around about the city once. You shall do this 6 days. So he says, this is God's directions. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's important you don't question God's directions. Right. Amen? God sometimes will say some things to you that will make your mind go on tilt. But don't question God. Just do it. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Don't question him. Just do it. It says, you shall compass. So he says, I want you to go walk around the city 6 times. One time for 6 days. Verse 4, and 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day, you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with trumpets. So he's saying, on the 7th day, I want you not to go around it once. I want you to go around it 7 times. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's see here. And it shall come to pass, verse 5, that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man before him. Now, we don't have time to read the story, but what happened? Exactly what God said would happen. Amen. Let's say these are the walls of Jericho, and they walked around them, and on that 7th day, they stood at the walls, and they blew that trumpet. And when they did, God said, your direction is to shout. Amen. Amen. Let the people shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause, the Bible says. See, you people, I'm not saying in here, I'm saying in the body of Christ general, but you people out there, and if you're in here, then this you're included, but you people out there that don't like the hoopla and the praise, and you are not going to like heaven. Heaven is a loud and rejoiceful place of goodness. And God said, go to real quick, hold your place here and go to Psalm 35. Psalm 35 and verse 27. Hallelujah. Do we want to be Bible people or do we want to be someone from the church of the frozen chosen? What's that? What's that church? That's the church. Just sit there. Don't say anything. Don't smile. Don't amen. Don't be excited. The church of the frozen chosen. That's not what heaven's like. And that's not what God tells you to be. In fact, he says, let them. Now, we're going to find out who the them are and see if you qualify for them. But he says, if you fall into the category of them, you know what you should be doing? Shouting. Let them shout for joy. Now, let's find out who are the ones that are supposed to be shouting. And be glad that favor my righteous cause. Are you behind what God's doing? Do you favor God's righteous cause on the earth? Well, the Bible says if you do, you're them. And them are supposed to be what? Shouting. So when people rejoice and praise you, Jesus, they're just being doers of the Bible. They're just saying, Lord, I'm with you. I favor your righteous cause. I'm going to shout for joy. Praise God. And let them say continually. Praise God. Now go back to chapter 6. You can go there. We're not going to look any further. Basically, we're just going to tell you. They did it. They walked around 7 times. And the 7th time, what did they do? They shouted. Well, what does praise do? Praise carries the manifested presence of God to a situation. Well, God's pretty powerful and ain't no wall going to stop him. He's not worried about no wall. So they start shouting, doing what God says to do. Okay, God, Uber's here. Time to go, God. We got an appointment at the walls of Jericho. Come on in, sir. Get in, go down, bring on the situation. Walls come crashing down. They walk into what they otherwise couldn't walk into. They didn't have to walk into it by stress, by might and by blood, sweat, and tears. They walked into that by praising God. The walls came down. And we'll come back to this in a second. Brother Hagin, and again, if any vision or revelation that we tell you that Brother Hagin had, and the way he was, which is why he was so safe, he always would tell the Lord, I need scripture for that. And then the Lord would give him scripture. But the Lord told Brother Hagin in one of the many visions that he had, if you'll praise me, you'll get there quicker. If you'll praise me, you'll get there quicker. Things will change. Things will happen. Well, look at Psalm 67 and verse 5. Oh, glory to God. There's a principle here. And I'm going to deal with something with analytical minds and things here at the end of the service. But Psalm 67 and verse 5, look at what it says. Let the people praise thee, O God. Now remember, what happens, what is the principle we've learned, we've seen that when people praise, the manifested presence of God shows up. Well, look what he says. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Now look at verse 6. Then. You see then? When did the glory of... Now again, when did the glory... See, here's the thing. This word then there is in italics. That means it was added by the translators, but it wasn't a wrong addition because we've seen in principles in the Word and principles we're going to look at after, it lines up with the Bible that God's presence doesn't come before the praise, it comes after the praise. So it doesn't show it in italics there, but if you have a King James or it's in italics, which means then, and again, it's not taken out of context, but look at the whole Bible, but look what it says. Then, well, in 2 Chronicles 5, the glory of the Lord didn't show up until when? They praised. The walls in Jericho didn't fall down until when? They praised. He said, let the people praise you, O God, let all the people praise you. Verse 6, then, not before then, shall the earth yield her increase. And God, even our own God, shall bless us. If you'll praise me, you'll get into it quicker, the Lord said to Brother Hagin. Well, he said here, if you'll praise the earth, it causes the earth to change. It causes the earth to give increase. Well, increase to who? The people that are praising. Amen. Take it a step further. Go to Proverbs 28 and verse 12. Hallelujah. God's good. Amen. It's a principle of praise. If we'll praise Him, things will change. Proverbs 28, in verse 12. When righteous men, anybody righteous men and women out here today? Amen. You know you are if you're born again. If you didn't know that, I'm telling you. Proverbs 28 and verse 12. You say, why are you standing on that ledge? Because that feels good to be tall. I like it up here. This is good. I can get used to this. When righteous men do rejoice, there's a reaction. Remember, what is praise? Praise is a switch flipper. When righteous men rejoice, there is great what?
Glory.
Well, isn't it the glory of God? The glory of God is the manifested presence of God. So the Bible says when you rejoice, the result is great glory shows up. Now let's take it a step further and go to Philippians 4 and verse 19. Hallelujah. Talking about increase. Remember, when the earth praises or when the people praise, the earth yields increase. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. Now look at this. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in
glory.
Where?
Glory.
So in the glory is where the needs are met, where the blessings happen. Well, what did he say? When righteous men rejoice, there's great glory. What happens in the glory? Needs are being met. Well, we saw in Psalm 67, when you praise, it yields increase. They got the promised land through praising. Amen. Number one, it's a vehicle. Number two, it gets you into things supernaturally. By praising. Why? Because when you praise, there's glory. There's increase. Hallelujah. So number one, praise a vehicle. Number two, it gets you into things. Number three, praise will get you out of things. Like what? Bondage, fear, depression. Amen. I wish I would have known back when I was struggling and I thought the best solution for me was to check out of this life. I wish I would have known this type of stuff.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Go with me to Acts chapter 6. It'll get you out of some things. Out of what? Bondages. What's bondages? Fear, depression, poverty, lack, worry, anxiety. It'll get you out of those things. Acts chapter 6 and verse 19. It says, oh, where in the heck is it? That's not where I want to go. Acts chapter 16 is where I want to go. Acts chapter 16 in verse 19. Just to catch you up to the story, this is where Paul and Silas cast the devil out of a young lady that was following them around, kind of tormenting them, and then Paul got a revelation in the Spirit of what to do, cast the devil out of her. Well, this girl was telling people's fortunes. She was working for some ungodly people. They kind of had her as a slave almost, and she was prophesying. She had a demon and she was prophesying people's futures. And you know, for some, you see, even the world is turned on by the supernatural. You know, that's why that Lilydale and psychic stuff, that's why it turns the world on, because the world is hungry for the supernatural. But see, we don't have to have a counterfeit supernatural. If we'll bring God on the scene, we can have the real deal. But even back then, and here's how you know that stuff's wrong, Paul said he cast a devil out of her. The devil can speak things. People say, I went to a fortune teller and they told my future. Yeah, it's called familiar spirits.
Yeah.
The devil can put on a show too, but it's counterfeit.
Yeah.
Say, well, they told me some things. My favorite one is this. This is the soapbox. I'm going to get on it. My favorite one is this. Oh, your dead relative is, they're here right now. They're here in the room. And the people get all excited and emotional. What are they saying? What are they saying? You used to have shoes with pink shoelaces. Oh my God, I did! So you're telling me that the one thing they're going to say when they come back from the dead and sit next to their loved one is that you have pink shoelaces? Not tell them I love them and I miss them and things are good over here. Nope, let them know about the pink shoelaces. And they get all emotional, excited. Why? They're craving something beyond the normal of what their life is. And the world is so hungry for it. They crave that kind of stuff, but thank God he is our fix. And Paul cast the devil out of this girl, and it made her masters mad, because once he did that, she couldn't do what she was doing anymore. That demonic spirit was gone, hallelujah. And so it says, and when her masters saw that their hope of gains or their income was gone, they caught Paul and Silas. They're the culprits for casting out the devil. And they drew them into the marketplace under the rulers, brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent or tore off their clothes and commanded to beat them. There it is again, like we talked about last week. You want to do the work of Jesus? You want to be in the real deal with God's will? It's going to come with persecution. It's going to come with tribulation. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison. Now remember, they had their clothes ripped off. Cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. There was a man that went to Pastor Nancy's church. He was a minister. I think he's out of Alaska. And he actually went to the prison where it's commonly known that Paul was kept. And it ain't like the prisons we have now. And one of the things that stuck out, and they talk about on that tour over there in Rome where he was that the way the sewage system was, just because they didn't have the technology and everything we have, that there would be like a hole in the middle of the prison where they would, you know, use the bathroom. And when there was floods and heavy rains, all the sewage would come up into the prison and into their cells. And it's dark, it's cold, it's damp, it's nasty. And he's there naked, beaten, and in chains. That's where Paul is. He's in bondage. Amen. Anybody here this morning feel like you're in bondage? Anybody here this morning feel like fear, depression, and anxiety and torment have a hold on you? I'm about to give you your answer. Verse 24, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, which was even worse, and made their feet fast in stocks. Verse 25, and at midnight. Woo-hoo. Man, I get chills every time I read this, because I see this is the real deal guy right here. Paul was the real deal. At midnight, Paul and Silas grumbled and moaned and groaned, got mad at the preacher. How can this be? How can this be? Father, you told me to come to Macedonia, and I did, and now I'm here. You're unfaithful. How could you do this to me? God never changes. Your circumstances may, but God doesn't change. He's still your answer. He's not your enemy. Your pastor's not your enemy. The devil's your enemy. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. They looked to heaven, didn't they? And sang praises unto God. I believe, Brother Hagin said this, and I believe him. Praise is the highest form of prayer. Because praise is coming from a place of unselfishness. Just, I love you. It's not gimme, gimme, gimme.
Yeah, that's good.
Most people only fellowship they have with him is when life is hard and they pull Jesus off the shelf and come and save me, Lord. Fix my money, fix my marriage, fix my kids. Things are going off kilter. It's kind of like the guy at the Jamestown church years ago came in. I mean, hell on earth in his life. We sat and counseled him, gave him the word, and miracles turned his life around. And then all of a sudden he disappeared. He said, what in the world is going on? So we finally reached out to him. He said, brother, is everything okay? We haven't seen you. What's going on? He said, I don't need to come to church anymore. I don't need that God stuff anymore. He turned my life around. I'm good now. I'm telling you, I'm at the place. I got a report about something, one about me in this church, but a report the other day about something Pastor Scott was telling me. I said, Pastor Scott, I'm finally at the place that Pastor Michael said I would one day get where nothing surprises me.
Amen.
It's crazy, some of the things that you hear and how people get at times, like, holy cow. And here he was. He had his life miraculously turned around, and he actually said out of his mouth, I'm good now. God turned it all around. I don't need to do that anymore. Well, he was just, God, what can I get from you? What can I get from you? You're my vending machine. Gimme, gimme, gimme. That's why praise, Brother Hagin said, is the highest form of prayer. Because all prayer is communication with the Father. Well, when you're praising, you're communicating with the Father, but it's from an unselfish platform.
Hallelujah.
They sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Now look at this. And suddenly there was an earthquake. Now wait a minute. Do you think that God was there all the time? Yes. God is here all the time. He's in every hospital. He's in every prison. He's in every mental facility. He is. Every mental health facility. God's there. And he was here. But suddenly there was a great earthquake. Now, it says at midnight this happened. Why didn't this happen at 11:50? Because they didn't start doing the switch flipping till midnight. But once they flipped the switch, a car pulled up in heaven and said, let's manifest and bring you to the prison and let's have you get out of this car and put on a show and manifest for the world to see. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison awoke out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice saying, don't harm yourself, we're all here. But my point is, praise not only gets you into things, it gets you out of things. Amen. Bondage. It has delivering power. Go with me to Isaiah 61. We're almost done. Isaiah 61 and verse 3. This is good. The word. I don't mean the preaching, but the word is good. Isaiah 61, 3. Again, we're showing you the principle of praise. See, one thing no one can say to me about depression and suicidal thoughts and things that, Pastor, you just don't understand. You know, no, I understand. I've been at the bottom. I'm going to be open with you right now and just be transparent. Every single day I'm bombarded with suicidal thoughts. Now, don't let that trouble you. Every day of my life, the devil tries to press my button. But now I've learned what to do with those thoughts. Now I learn where those thoughts come from. But see, he's always going to press and press and press and press. It's my job to renew my mind and walk in the light of the word. But I'm not kidding you, there's sometimes I'll wake up in the morning and there'll be such a heaviness over me that it takes everything I have to just get up and move around. And I'm not saying that for you to feel bad for me. I'm just telling you the truth. And those thoughts are there and I'm not even thinking anything. I don't want to do that. I don't want that ever to happen. But the thoughts are there all the time. It's nonstop sometimes. But now I just sit back and I laugh. I say, devil, really? This is what you're going to bring to me? I know those are lies. I know that's not the best solution. I know God has a plan for me, and I know what you're trying to do. Amen. But I wish I'd have known this back then, and this is what I do now. Glory to God. Now, don't think, oh, my God, my pastor's depressed, and what? We need to cut, you know, I'm good. I'm just telling you the truth of what happened. Just like if you're someone that's dealt with someone that deals with lust, or someone that's dealt with fear, or someone that's if that's the area and it's familiar to the devil, he will push and push and push on those things, but it's your job to renew your mind and walk in the light of the word. Amen. You know the devil tried to get Jesus to kill himself. He did. He said, jump off the cliff. The angels will catch you. He tried to get him to. Suicide's a spirit. Depression is a spirit. It is. But praise God, he's bigger. Jesus is bigger. Here's your answer right now if you're in that position. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them the beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Here it is. The garment of praise for the. He says the garment of praise is for a purpose. For the spirit of heaviness. That's what I'm talking about. Waking up and it being like a thickness in the room. Where it's like, I don't want to get up. I don't want to start another day. And I'm not a lazy person. I'm not someone that just sits around. I like to be moving and going, but there are times it is so heavy and so thick that it's everything I have in my energy to get up and start the day. But I have the answers now. Amen. And I don't care how thick the oppression gets, Jesus is bigger. Amen. Amen. I don't care how fast and hard and heavy the attacks come, Jesus is bigger. And if I'll walk in the light of the word and in the power of his might, I'll be fine. And if you'll walk in the power of the word and in the power of his might, you'll be fine too. In every single area. But he says, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So now when there's that heaviness there, you know what I do? Look upward. Father, I worship you. I praise you. You are good. You are mighty. You are wonderful. And guess what? It goes away. It goes away. Amen. See, we try as people with our money, with our relationships, with our kids, with our emotional and mental state beings and our health. We look to all the natural solutions, and God is the answer sitting on the throne saying, I can help you. If you'll just turn to me, I can help you. There's your help. He says, here it is. Start praising God and watch how deliverance will come.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Now, in speaking on that, why does this work this way? Well, I don't know why when I do this, that happens. But I don't walk into a dark room and see this and say, I know if I press it, that'll come on. But I don't know why that works. And so I don't know why, so I'm just going to leave it dark. No, I just boop and it works. Why does this work? I don't know. It just does.
Amen.
It just does. He likes it when we praise him. It brings him on the scene. So what does that mean? Don't sit around and question it. Just do it.
Amen.
Walk into a room. Don't sit around and question why the lights work. Just do it. Why, when I stick my key in, does it start it up? I have no idea. But it does, and I just do it. The majority of the Word and the spiritual people are ones that just do it. They don't question. They don't sit around and wonder why. They just do it. Now, here's the other thing you need to know about not questioning it, just doing it. This is not a feeling. You tell me where in Paul and Silas' flesh would have felt like lifting your hands and rejoicing while you're naked in one of the worst prisons on earth, beaten to a bloody pulp, doing the will of God. Where would you feel like praying and praising God? Again, just do it. That's the mark of a spiritual Christian. They don't wait for some ooey, gooey rush of an emotion or a feeling. They just do what the Word says to do. And we have principles here now. Now go with me real quick to Hebrews 13 and verse 15. We talked about, you need to listen to our Wednesday night's message. What did I talk about? Not being emotional. So many Christians are so emotional. Everything's based on emotion and how they feel. That's not how God's leading. He's not leading you in your emotions. Amen. In fact, we see in the Bible, people that did great exploits for God had to actually bypass some very strong emotional feelings. Take Isaac up on the hill and murder him. That's emotional feeling. Go down and tell that widow woman who has one meal left, tell her you want the meal. That's a tough thing for a preacher and weighs on their emotions. Amen.
Amen.
Hebrews 13 and verse 15 says this, by him let us offer the sacrifice. Do you see that there? Sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. The Bible calls praise at time a sacrifice. Do you think, ladies and gentlemen, the Winter Olympics are coming up, and there are people like, for example, downhill skiers, they don't just get to go ski and go down a hill. I mean, they're in the weight room. Their legs are the size of tree trunks. They work out. They eat right. They get up early. They spend. Do you think that when they stand on the center stage and the national anthem is being played and they have that gold medal around their neck, do you think they just got there by waking up one morning 4 years ago and thinking, 4 years from now I'm going to run that race and I'm going to win that gold? Or do you think they trained nonstop? Well, the answer is what? They trained nonstop. But then let's take it a step further. Do you think in that training that for 4 years, 365 days a year times four, do you think there was ever a day where they thought, I don't feel like eating like this. I don't feel like doing this.
Come on.
I'm sure there was a lot of days. But you know why they're elite athletes and they're in a class by themselves? Because they don't let their feelings stop them. Their eye is on the prize, the gold medal. So it doesn't matter if I don't want to eat this way. It doesn't matter if I don't want to train this way. If I want to win the gold, I got to do this. It doesn't matter if I wake up and there's a heaviness. and that thoughts bombard me. And at times you can be so down and out, and the money's not there, and it's not working in your home, and your body's broke down, and there's nothing in you that feels like lifting your hands and praising God. Praise also will bring supernatural comfort. There's times when you need supernatural comfort. There's no feeling of wanting to praise, but we don't go by our feelings. We go by principles of the Word. Paul did it. They did it in Jericho, and we see it yielded great increase in harvest for them. Amen. So it's not about feeling, but if you'll begin to just magnify God. Oh, Lord, I praise you. And at first, you're going to be like that pot of broccoli cheese soup that's been sitting on the stove, and nobody stirred it in an hour, and it's thick, and it's gooey. But once it starts to get stirred, and it gets easier, and starts getting thinner, and it just, oh, it looks so good. That's what you're going to be like at first. Praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. But then the anointing's going to come into you. It's going to, the house, your house and your room's going to be filled with the glory of the Lord, and you're going to be praising Him, and worshiping Him, and shouting, and declaring things for your future, and telling the situation how it's going to turn. It might start, but Paul said, stir it up. Stir it up. Because if you're waiting to jump out of bed and love you, Jesus, woohoo, I'm glad I'm sick because healing's coming, and I don't have any money, but who cares? Praise you, Lord. You're not going to feel like doing that. But you're going to be a champion and make yourself do it. Because the principle is, I don't have to feel it, I just got to do it. If you'll do that long enough and stir it up, the feeling will actually come, and you'll be, it won't just be faking it till you make it. And last, I'm sorry, I'm going just a little bit longer. It's 11:30. I need to say this. Romans 4 and verse 20, another principle of praise. Do you agree with me, yes or no, that faith is important? Is what you receive in life based on your faith or a heavenly lottery? Your faith. Right? You receive the promise of God by faith. You overcome by faith. You quench the fiery darts of the enemy by faith. You, what did he say over there in Mark 9:23? If you can believe, all things are possible. So we do know it's our faith. Our faith gives God a chance to come on the scene. It's a pipeline for Him. The reason why praise is so important is because when you start a trial, a test of a trial, one thing we know about faith is not overnight. There's a patient side to faith. Right? There might be things you're believing God for that haven't come to pass in years, but you're still believing God for them. Months, maybe weeks, maybe days. And so, when the beginning of that trial, to the end of the trial, one of the things that's required, Galatians chapter 6, is don't faint or you won't reap. He said, if you faint not, you'll reap. Well, what did James, that was in Galatians chapter 6, what did James say in chapter 1? He said, let that person ask in faith or they won't receive anything from the Lord. So you can't ask at the starting point in faith and then fizzle out in 10 days and say, oh, this doesn't work. So you're not in faith anymore. They that endure to the end will be saved. You've got to have faith through the whole trial. Amen? That's why it's faith. Because if you have faith at the starting point, every single person in here can start a marathon tomorrow. If there was a marathon down in Fredonia, we could all start it, but we probably wouldn't all finish it. Amen? Steve Buck would. He runs those things. I'm telling you, it's crazy. That guy does it. He could do it. He'd show us all how to do it. We'll just get on his coattails all the way to the end. Praise the Lord. We wouldn't finish it. Well, it's easy to hear a message on healing and prosperity when you're going through financial trials or going through physical trial to walk out of here and say, my God, Pastor gave me my answer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I claim my healing. But then you wake up and the symptoms got worse. Then you wake up and then, oh my gosh, now my refrigerator broke down too and my furnace went and my car blew a tire. What are you going to do day 10 when nothing's changed or it's got worse? What are you saying then? What are you going to do on day 20? What are you going to do on year 1 and nothing looks like it's changed? What are you going to do? You got to stay in faith. Well, why is praise important? And I'm going to give you a principle. Romans 4 and verse 20. Praise holds your attention on Him. When you praise, you're looking northward to Him. He is your deliverance. When we start looking off of Him and at the situation, the circumstance, and time frames is when our faith starts to go down the drain. Praise If you'll be a person of praise, we'll hold your attention on him. Look at Romans 4 and verse 20. He staggered Abraham not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong. One translation says, was strengthened in his faith. How? Given glory to God. When he took his eyes off his body, took his eyes off what the doctors were saying, took his eyes off the doubters and the mockers and the scoffers, but started just looking at God, you said it, I'm going to give you praise. Faith stayed strong, the manifestation came. The reason we go off the cliff of faith is because you start looking at your checkbook and believing it. And you start looking at your body and the doctor's reports and start imagining things. Keep your focus on him. Praise always is directed towards him. It'll hold your attention there. Amen. Father, I thank you that's coming to pass. Yeah, but all this, it doesn't matter. My attention's not on all that. My attention, Father, I praise you. It'll come to pass. Father, I magnify you. Lord, I thank you. It'll be so. As you have said it, it'll come to pass. Father, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what time has passed. You're faithful and you're good and I magnify you. You know what I'm doing? Sending a driver for him. To come down in here and to change whatever I need changed. Amen? So there's a principle. Be a praiser. Be a praiser. Father, we love you. And we glorify you. Now, heads bowed and eyes closed, as I look around the room this morning, I don't see anybody here that's not saved. So you know what we're going to do? Let's be doers of the word. Amen? It's one thing to hear the word. Let's be doers of the word. Let's rejoice and let's praise him and let's magnify him for his goodness. It's not about how you feel. It's not about how comfortable it is. Glory to God. Get your mind off yourself. That's your problem. I don't want to lift my hands. I'm scared. Of what? What are you scared of? I don't want to lift my voice. I'm afraid. Of what? We worship you, Father. We worship you, Father. We worship you, Father. It doesn't matter if we feel like it. It doesn't matter if that's our personality. Do we want you to show up or not? Hallelujah. We glorify you. We magnify you. We praise you, Lord. We magnify you. You're wonderful. You are powerful and mighty and good. There was a minister who told me a story about another minister. I won't say their names. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to, what I'm allowed to say. I'd have to get released to bring up the names. But they were talking about a minister who has signs, wonders, and miracles like popcorn in their ministry. Crazy testimonies. And they said, I got a chance to pray with them one time in private. They said, I've never seen anybody praise God to the depths and the sincerity and the heart cry. He said, I just had to stop and watch. It was from a place from their heart of, oh God, what would I do without you? Where would I be? Just a cry to him. Not caring what, just a heartfelt praise. And evidently, God likes that and shows up in that guy's ministry. It's about letting go of what we think our spouse might think of us or what's our neighbor next to us going to think of us. Who cares? I want him to show up. And if my praising is a principle, then he's going to hear it. Father, we worship you. We magnify you. You are powerful and you are good. We love you and glorify you. Get your mind off of yourself and put it on him. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Oh, where would we be without you, Lord? Oh, what would be of our lives without you? You rescued us from the pit, from the muck and the mire. You pulled us out, Father, and set us on high. Depression and fear and poverty and sickness, all those things you pulled me out of, Lord. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You are wonderful. You are good. And you are mighty. We bless you today. We bless you today. Now, if there's anybody listening by live stream, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. You've never accepted Him. You say, I don't know if I'd be born again or not. Just go ahead right now and just say, Father, I believe in Jesus. I ask you to come into my heart. That's the prayer you have to pray to get to heaven. Just, if you believe in Jesus, all you got to do is confess that and ask Him into your heart. And if you prayed that for the first time, or if you're confused about that, the number's on the website, the email's on the website. Give us a call. We'll help you and encourage you and point you in the right direction. Father, we love you today. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we're dismissed, we're going to take up communion today. So if the ushers will go ahead and get that. Heather, if you'd put on Carrie Jo Beloved, if you'd go to Artists, you might have to go to Artists. If you need help finding it on the iPad, let me know, or the iPod. Praise God. He's worthy to be praised. Are you able to find it? Awesome. Well, we're just going to go ahead right now. I'm just asking everybody, you know, there's different kinds of worship. It's not always loud and rambunctious and boisterous worship. At times, there's reverent worship. So I'm just asking you in your seat, as the elements are being passed out, just worship God. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, we love you today. Thank you, Jake. Thank you, sir. Hallelujah.
Come away with me, my love.
Hallelujah. And just thank Him for what this represents, that His body was broken for you, that His blood was shed.
My mercy come and wait.
Oh, where would we be without you?
We are standing face to face.
Magnify you, Jesus.
I see no
Lord, I can't even begin to imagine
you,
the pain that you endured. The beatings, the mockings. Lord, they'd spit on you. They cursed at you. And you were perfect. You were wonderful. You were the lamb without spot or blemish, yet they treated you so bad. And Lord, it's not that they had power over you, because we know that you laid your life down, which to me makes it even that much more special. You weren't taken captive and forced to die. You could have got yourself out of that at any time. But you willingly let people that you were dying for spit on you, mock you, curse at you, jam a crown of thorns on your head, beat you to a pulp, jam nails into your feet and into your hands, hang you on a tree. You did that willingly so that we could have eternal life. Oh, Jesus.
I'll breathe my life inside.
Oh, Jesus, thank you. We worship you and magnify
you.
We love you and praise you and thank you for what you've done. We glorify
you
and magnify you. Hallelujah. We praise you. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Heather. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broke for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Go ahead and take the bread and let's break and let's eat it. And now let's all in unity thank him for his body that was broken. Oh, by his stripes in his body are we healed. His body was broken so ours wouldn't have to be. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. After the same manner, he also took the cup when he had supped. So this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. So let's go ahead and take the cup and drink. And let's thank him right now for the blood that was shed, that washes us white as snow. The precious blood of Jesus with what we were purchased with. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now let's just thank him together. We love you, Lord. We bless you and praise you. We thank you for all you've given us. We thank you for what we've learned today. Father, we'll be doers of the word. We praise and magnify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget, no Wednesday. Don't forget, Taco Sunday. We'll see you next Sunday at 10. You're dismissed. Hallelujah.
Only one name.